stomping collection of good time blues delivered with a wink and a smile. Elvin Bishop puts the git in guitar, and his Big Fun Trio does this wrong just right. Tickets for Elvin Bishop and his Big Fun Trio can be found at the Dakota's website. Visit DakotaCooks.com for more details.
This is Sound Effects, a radio playground, a compendium of radio theater, comedy, and the audio arts, with your host, Jerry Stearns. And another good evening to you. I'm Jerry Stearns, your host for Sound Effects, a radio playground. Now, a few weeks ago, I took a course through the Minneapolis Public Schools, one of those evening adult courses, at the Minnehaha Recording Studio. And there I ran into an old friend named Terry Faust. He's a local writer, and he and I have run into each other in these courses several times over the last number of years. And in bringing each other up to date, he told me that he had a new radio play produced by a group called the Radio Theater Project out of St. Petersburg, Florida. I've heard of them before, and I was pleased to hear that he got something produced. He's had another one done since then as well. Well, this one was such a good story. It's full of Twin Cities references, some of which are near where I live in South Minneapolis. And it's a great take on the old Sasquatch legend. You might remember that story as one about Bigfoot. Well, it's a very different direction take on that. This is Terry Faust's radio play, Basket Case, from the Radio Theater Project.
The Radio Theater Project presents Basket Case, a radio play written by Terry Faust and directed by James Rayfield.
My name's Alula. I'm 20, and my hypnotherapy sessions with Gisella started a few months ago. She's the hypnotherapist. Our meetings are designed to help me go back a few days, or maybe a week, maybe longer. I need to remember where I put stuff. Lately, my things just disappear. I can't figure out where they are. Then they magically reappear. It's scary.
Ah! Jeez, Alula! Wake up! Snap out of it!
I was in the woods again.
And I was nearly in cardiac arrest. Don't yell like that.
It's the only way I know how to yell.
Well, keep it down. Tell me what you imagined.
There was a large river nearby. I saw that face, that big, hairy face, like last time. It was awful.
And it was the awful, hairy face again.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't completely awful. The face wasn't mean or threatening, just not entirely human.
You haven't been to any online dating sites?
My parents don't let me. No, I've never seen it before.
I see. Well, you probably went too far back in your regression. Were you a baby again?
Yeah.
Most interesting. You know, I've given it some thought. Perhaps you've stumbled upon a traumatic event from your formative years.
Gisella, I was 5'9" in second grade. My formative years were a traumatic event.
Well, being covered in fur couldn't have helped.
Ugh, Mom used to shave my entire body before sending me to class. I'd have a 3 o'clock shadow before school let out. Ugh, the teasing was awful. Kids tease me about being Canadian.
Oh, well, No one should be teased about being Canadian.
What did you mean by stumbled?
Huh?
You said stumbled onto a traumatic event. I thought you had complete control of my regressions.
Oh, well, stumbled might not have been the right word. The unconscious mind is unpredictable and often guides us to significant moments in our past. I expect our experiences to be deep-seated memories. This calls for more sessions.
Is this gonna cost more?
Fuck!
Dad won't be happy. He isn't crazy about my current sessions.
Well, I'm sure we can figure it out. Listen, kid. You're a young woman with your whole life ahead of you. This is important stuff. In my years as a hypnotherapist, the times I allowed a client to avoid deep-seated past traumas, well, the results were dramatic and troubling.
Troubling?
And dramatic. A few of my clients who refused treatment took up Morris dancing.
Oh, dang, that's horrible. When can I schedule our next session?
Sessions.
Gisella started our new sessions with a series of flash pictures of hairy faces, dogs, cats, ZZ Top, and she'd watch my reaction. Somehow this was supposed to help me identify the face from my babyhood. We agreed to keep these sessions from my parents, my dad in particular. Talking about my early years was forbidden. As our meetings went by, the pictures Gisella showed me became a blur. None of them came close to my regression face. I began to despair. One day, on my way to Gisella's office, I spied my hairy mystery face on a bumper sticker. It read, "I break for Bigfoot." Dang! I had no idea what or who Bigfoot is, but there it was, the face from my regression. I've led a sheltered life. My TV watching is pretty much limited to Jerry Springer and boring soap operas. Mom put parental controls on my internet access. Growing up, my only actual contact with the world was Makawe, a woman who cleaned our house. As I think back, she really raised me and told me wonderful stories about spirits and the woods. My mother loved me and all, but it was Makawe who wiped my tears away when I was teen. I mounted the steps to Gisella's second floor office. Excited by the bumper sticker face, I burst in! Gisella, who is Bigfoot?
Sufferin' Sasquatch Lone Wolf, look, what a specimen.
You said it, Chief Trapper, Sasquatch.
Hey, who are you guys? What are you doing and why do you have plaster casts of big footprints?
Ugh, aren't you going to ask me why they've tied me to a chair?
Yeah, that too. Why is Gisella tied to her chair?
Lone Wolf, use your taser.
Use your taser. Not dingly dang likely.
Ow! Aw, gee, my head. She whacked me with a footprint.
Hey, don't bust those. They're priceless. Shoot her.
Hi!
Ah, my hand. Don't step on... Ah, gee, my taser. I just got it at Walmart on sale.
Listen, Tubby. You and your friend, leave now.
Just put that other foot cast down and we'll talk. Hey, that nearly hit me.
Want me to try again?
That's our last plaster cast.
We're going.
Are you all right, Gisella?
My dignity has been injured, but otherwise, I'm okay. Untie me when you get a chance.
Should I call the police?
Just untie me.
Who are those men?
I'm not sure. Maybe plaster cast salesmen.
These casts are of monster feet. They tied you up to sell you plaster casts of monster feet?
Have you ever tried selling plaster casts of monster feet?
Somehow, I doubt they were salesmen. What did they really want?
Okay, I'll level with you. They were pushing some bizarre cryptozoology story. Go figure.
What?
Oh, you got me.
I'm calling the police.
No! Don't. I guess there was no harm done.
This pamphlet on your desk, it says something about Bigfoot. Twin Cities Bigfoot Research Association, TCBRA. Where'd this come from?
It might have come in the mail in the morning. I'm not really sure.
Wait a minute. The abbreviation matches what the tubby one had on his T-shirt. Tick-tick-bra.
Right. What a coincidence. The fat guy certainly did have a set.
Oh, come on, Gisella. It's not a Twin Cities man-boob club. Are there even such clubs in the Twin Cities?
Gisella. Man-boob. Where'd you get that?
Jerry Springer. Now come clean. What did they want?
I really don't know.
Don't know? Gisella, why do I doubt you?
It's this age we live. Everyone doubts everything. I blame Roger Stone.
You're saying this is some incredible coincidence, especially since Bigfoot is on bumper stickers.
Bumper stickers? Huh?
Listen, Gisella, I know nothing about Bigfoot, but I'm betting you do. Have you ever heard of him or her?
It's possible.
Gisella!
Okay, look. I may have withheld a few minor bits of information from you during therapy.
Like what?
Well, you know all the photos you've been looking at? Well, I was saving this one for last. I wanted to go through all the hairy faces I could find first. You know, process of elimination, you know. I pride myself on being thorough.
And charging for it. Come on, show it to me.
Well, now that you've seen that bumper sticker, I feel you're ready to see this.
That's it! The face from my regression. That's the Bigfoot? Why didn't you show me this before?
I didn't show it because, well, your parents told me not to.
What? No, how can that be?
They're paying the bills. I do what I'm told.
I don't understand. I thought I could trust you.
Oh, you can. I just don't always tell the truth and can't keep secrets. Other than that, I'm good as gold.
This Bigfoot creature, my parents know?
Well, not exactly. Kid, your mom and dad aren't the sharpest knives in the drawer. They wanted to protect you, not have you making comparisons. You're big and hairy, but in a lovely way. However, Bigfoot is big and hairy, too.
So what? Smokey the Bear is big and hairy.
Well, nobody thinks he's real.
Okay, but why keep pictures of Bigfoot from me?
Well, before we get into that, there's something else. Something your parents have wanted to tell you for years.
Oh, good gravy. I feel like I've stepped into an episode of General Hospital, the 53rd season, where things happen for no apparent reason.
You're adopted.
Adopted? How? What? Not? No, why? This is too much to digest.
Oh, would you like a Tums? I think I have some in my desk. Wait! Hold everything! They're all gone! Oh, no, here's one.
Keep your Tums. I've had enough. I'm out of here. Oh. The adoption news left me shaken. My parents were far from perfect, but they're all I have. Ooh, I needed to think, but not about my adoption, at least not yet. I focused on Bigfoot. The fact I had a name for my mystery face and that it had an organization researching it was great, even though two members were jerks. Sort of like finding out the mysterious disease you have has an institute working on a cure, but it's run by the Three Stooges. I had big questions for my parents. Before I asked them, I wanted to check out the Bigfoot Research Association. They might provide a few straight answers to this curving collection of questions I considered crucial. I took the brochure to the library and searched online. I found the association met twice a month at a local coffee shop. A meeting was set for this evening. When I first meet people, I shave a lot. Face, arms, legs, whatever shows. For the bra meeting, I chose a simple black dress with matching combat boots. Checked myself in the bedroom mirror. A goth look suits me. The topic for the association's talk would be Urban Bigfoot. He walks among us. I guess Bigfoot is a he, so I'm already learning things. I fed my pet badger Kevin and headed out. Mom, Dad, I'm going to a badger owner's workshop.
Oh, you look lovely, dear.
Be back by 11, and no talking to boys.
Oh, yes, Dad.
You're not bringing Kevin?
I shut Kevin in his cage.
Good. Your pet badger wants to kill me.
It's his way of showing he cares, Dad.
Have a good time, dear.
Okay. I lied about the badger workshop. Mom and Dad are overly protective. I also didn't mention that Gisella has spilled the beans about my adoption. I dropped into the coffee shop.
What can I get you?
A small light rose. I'm looking for the Bigfoot group meeting.
Why?
I want to join. Do they meet here?
Remarkable.
What's so remarkable?
I've just never seen a female who wants to join these guys. A few have wandered in by mistake. They always leave, threatening to call the police.
I'm not sure I understand.
Well, go on out the back and find out. They're in our meeting area with the flip chart and plaster casts. Here's your coffee. Good luck.
Thanks, I think. Clustered around a battered coffee table in the shadowy back of the shop, six characters that looked like rejects from a paintball fight listened to a guy in a safari jacket. Lone Wolf and Trapper, the guys from Gisella's office, were among them.
Men, I have fantastic news from the Bigfoot Research Association Central. It will blow your minds.
Hello, can I help you?
Is this the Bigfoot Research Association?
No, yes, we're in the Bigfoot Association of Research. You meant to come here?
It's the female type woman.
Ugh, Trapper and Lone Wolf gawked at me, unaware of who I was. Shaving does that for me. I came here to learn about Bigfoot.
Learn about Bigfoot, but you're a girl.
She sure is. Hubba, hubba.
Okay, all right. So I'm Stealth, leader of our merry band of Bigfoot researchers. Bra, for short.
Stealth introduced the bra over members. I'm not kidding. Tick Bra is what they call themselves. Bra! Each had a cutesy name that Jughead, reminded me of characters Twitty, from a prison Spice, movie or Dog, Snow White.
And he who farts in the wind. But you can call him Farts.
Ugh. They ogled me like an all-you-can-eat buffet. No one asked my name, but that was fine with me. War surplus camo pants, flannel shirts, and BO were the common denominator here.
Okay, hey, Lone Wolf, give her your chairs. We have a full agenda, so let's move on. As you can see on the flip chart, this latest info from Bra Central is amazing.
Will it lift and separate my thinking?
What?
Never mind.
It relates to the rumors of Bigfoot using tricks to remain invisible in the wilderness. That's right. And now, he's been detected in the city. Urban Bigfoot is a real thing, gentlemen. Bigfoot is using inattentional blindness to hide among us.
Bidirectional blindness?
Close enough. Look, I'll go into it in a minute. But first, Trapper and Lone Wolf have amazing news. Go ahead, Trapper.
Just this noon, I was following up on a tip from a crazy therapist who hangs out at my bar. She's got a patient who dreams about Bigfoot. I bought her a few shots, and she told me an incredible story.
Damn, Gisella.
Lone and I stopped at her office, and in the middle of our interview, a female Bigfoot attacked us. She must have been 12 feet tall.
All right, quiet down.
She rushed in, wearing a pastel cotton skirt, fashionable yellow paisley blouse, and sensible shoes. Penny loafers, I think.
I didn't see any pennies, but the skirt definitely had a sunflower pattern.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
I'm just telling you what I saw. She was huge and fierce with black fur and a killer outfit. We were lucky to fight her off.
Really? 12 feet tall and fierce?
Moved like a monster ninja.
But you liked her ensemble? The sunflower pattern wasn't too much?
A less defined pattern might have worked better with her blouse.
Lord almighty! What matters are the pictures? You got pictures of him.
Well, our camera equipment was, in the car.
You encountered Bigfoot and got no pictures? Holy Moses! And you call yourself a researcher?
Excuse me, but I'm confused. Why do you think it was this Bigfoot thing you're talking about? I mean, aren't there hairy people in the world? Couldn't hirsutism account for it? And why do you insist she was a he? What made her a Bigfoot? Did you talk to her?
Talk to Bigfoot? Are you crazy? You don't talk to Bigfoot. He doesn't speak.
Well,
what do you mean, well?
She did talk.
Talk? What did he say? Did you ask him why he was wearing a dress?
No.
Oh, you're saying Bigfoot is a cross-dresser?
No, just stylish.
We didn't get a chance. She busted a cast over my head and told us to leave.
Pardon me. So you've got a big, hairy, talking woman. Doesn't sound like what you're looking for. What is this Bigfoot anyway?
Bigfoot is a Sasquatch, a missing link that is huge and humanoid and avoids our investigations.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Some people think he's a hoax. Getting proof he exists is what we are all about. We want to capture or kill one. We need evidence.
Kill?
Only if he doesn't let us capture him.
That's murder, not research.
Listen, lady, we want to prove that Bigfoot exists. He's eluded capture in the wild. Trapper, I expect you and Lone Wolf to file a complete report. If it wasn't Bigfoot, what was it? We'll have to stake out that office. After the meeting, I'll assign a trap-setting team. This all segues into my report on inattentional blindness. Trapper and Lone, thank you for your less than professional efforts. Now, if you're done...
Done.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, now here is some real news from Bra Central about inattentional blindness. It's wild and happens when you're busy, really busy, looking for one thing, and you completely miss other things.
Oh, right. Like when you're hitting on a hot waitress and suddenly your wife empties her beer on your head. You just don't see it coming.
You sure didn't.
Okay. Oh, all right, okay, I think everyone gets the idea. Bra Central thinks our wily friend Bigfoot has somehow harnessed this blindness, maybe tied it to some extraordinary psychic power. It's allowing him to move into heavily populated areas unseen.
Yeah, right.
Excuse me. Me again. But if that's true, couldn't he be sitting in this room with you?
I hardly think so. After all, we are Bigfoot experts.
Before heading home, I swung by to warn Gisella about the group's trap plans. She didn't deserve it, but her office was on the way. Her light was on and the building's ground floor door wasn't locked. I was about to knock when I heard my dad's voice.
Damn it, Gisella. How could you blab about the adoption? We're paying you good money.
Alula is a bright kid. She'd figure it out soon enough.
Don't go calling her bright. What kind of therapist are you?
We just don't want her hurt. We'll need to talk to her.
You're darn tootin', we will. No thanks to you, Miss Hypno-Regression Specialist.
Well, about that. I've sent a bill for her additional sessions. My continued efforts as her hypnotherapist will benefit her big time. Especially if I knew more about her adoption.
You won't get a penny more. Her hypno-regression therapy is over.
Oh, this is going to be a vulnerable time for Alula. I have her trust and can guide her through this difficult time.
Has my trust? Alula?
We were just talking about you.
No kidding.
You heard us.
Well, yeah. We love you, Alula, and have always wanted what's best.
You didn't tell me about my adoption. That hurts.
And it'll take time for that hurt to heal. I'm here for you, Alula. I can schedule extra meetings.
Ugh, shut up! Oh, don't be mad, dear.
All I want is for you and Dad to tell me about my adoption. Where did you get me?
We found you in a basket by a water fountain. I think it was by Lake Harriet?
Oh, no, it was along the West River Road by the Winchell Trail.
Outside in the open, like a UPS package.
There was no postage, dear.
It was a sturdy basket. It looked handmade. You were small in a gigantic way and, well, furry. You were cute as a button. A furry button.
We took you to an animal shelter. They were pretty sure you were human.
Alula, you have to understand. We've been trying to have a child for years.
So you just kept me, didn't ask anyone where I came from.
The shelter posted you on their lost and found.
Dear, please don't judge us harshly.
You have no idea who put me by the fountain. There was no clue.
A scrap of paper said your name was Alula.
It was strange. When we found you, it felt like we were being watched.
Why did you keep Bigfoot pictures from me?
A worker at the shelter joked about you being as hairy as Bigfoot.
We just didn't want to... Well, it seemed cruel to say anything. Come home. I'll run you a nice hot bath. You'd like that, wouldn't you?
I feel betrayed. I want to be alone.
Evan can have what's left of your father's tender coconut ice cream cake.
What?
He loves the tender coconuts.
I sure do.
Not you, dear.
That's nearly a whole cake.
Take the parental controls off my computer, and I'll consider it.
Do you think that's a good idea, dear?
Oh, you worry about computer controls, but giving away my ice cake is just fine.
People! Calm down! The stress level in here is through the roof! Now, everyone, take 3 deep breaths.
You missed one, Dad.
Fine!
great. Now, as a profession, I'd say counseling is in order. It just so happens that this week, I have a special discount on group therapy.
Put a sock in it, Gisella. I'm out of here.
Let's take this brief break for these words from yours and my favorite radio station.
You're listening to KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis. Radio without boundaries.
Excellent.
We now pause for technical difficulties. Yep, it's still sound effects, and I'm still Jerry Stearns, and we're still listening to Basket Case, a Sasquatchian point of view from Twin Cities writer Terry Faust and the Radio Theater Project of Florida. Let's get back to Basket Case.
Kevin, go slow or you'll get brain freeze. After my bath, I retreated to my room and let Kevin have his treat. Dad's ice cream was a definite hit. Of course, getting a badger to brush and floss afterwards is always a chore, but I had other worries. I fired up my computer and connected to the internet. Now I could check online for stories about babies and baskets. Maybe there'd be news I could use. Dial-up! Someday my parents will join the 21st century.
May I come in, Alula?
Go away.
Don't be mad. I can imagine how you feel.
No, you can't.
Is Kevin eating all the cake?
Kevin, do you want to share?
Just asking. Your mother is very worried about you. I told her you'd need some time.
You're darn tootin'.
If Kevin's done, can you put him in his cage?
Sorry, Kevin. Back in your cage.
I figured you'd have a few questions.
You expect me to listen to someone who has lied to me my whole life?
Sure, why not?
How could you keep this from me all these years?
It was easy. We didn't tell you.
Didn't you think I might like to know I was adopted?
Frankly, no.
Well, it makes a difference to me. Now I'm wondering what my real parents are like.
We're your parents.
No, you know what I mean. I'm talking biology.
This isn't a science class, Alula.
Yeah, but the West River Road is pretty close. Did you check around? What if it was an accident and my parents are still looking for me?
We posted signs all over the neighborhood with your picture.
Didn't you report me to the police?
You must understand how desperate your mother was for a child. You were a blessing. To adopt a real child is expensive.
Real child? So I was like, what, a stray kitten?
Oh, no, not at all. You were much bigger than a kitten.
Thanks for the talk, Dad. Please close the door on your way out.
Well, I'm glad we could clear the air. Say, there are a few pieces of cake left. Do you mind if...
I'm letting Kevin out, Dad.
Good night, then.
It looked like I'd be on my own in finding my birth parents. The task looked impossible. There were no stories about basket babies along River Road, so I shifted to my other mystery, my dream of Bigfoot. It didn't take much digging online to find a wealth of information about the creature. The story of a half-human, half-beast was very popular. This was all news to me. I got the number of a paranormal investigator, one mentioned more than once on the Bigfoot websites, Gertrude Padelka.
who is advertised as the world's greatest crypto detective.
Yeah, about the investigations. The paranormal problems we solve. How may I help?
Miss Padalka, I am looking for a creature called Bigfoot.
Oh, da, Bolshenoida. Search is often expensive.
Do you have experience with this? Have you found a Bigfoot?
Bigfoot is considered rare. Some see and find footprints. Uncovering is difficult, but with proper funding, I search.
So you can't guarantee you'll find Bigfoot?
Oh, I guarantee if you search, you find. Miss Podelka Investigations. Trust me, kid.
Kid? Gisella!
Sorry, you have the wrong number.
Gisella, this is Alula. You stay on the line. What are you doing posing as a Bigfoot detective?
What do you mean posing? I'm as qualified as anybody.
Just tell me, is this a scam or can you really find Bigfoot?
Define scam.
That's it. I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up. Okay, listen. I'll admit I'm not perfect.
Already figured that out.
You want to look for Bigfoot? I'm the one you need. Most detectives would say you're crazy to look for that mythical beastie, but not me. If you got money, I'd say you're the sanest person on earth. I'm your perfect choice.
Perfectly bad choice? God, but she had a point. I'd already climbed up the Bigfoot learning curve with her. I'd be starting at the bottom with anyone else. Okay. But Dad won't cover it. I've only got $50.
It's a deal.
What do you know about a creature called Urban Bigfoot?
Urbane Bigfoot? Like he puts little umbrellas in his drinks?
No. Urban Bigfoot. You know what? Never mind. Let's meet by the West River Road fountain tomorrow around 8 in the morning. I have a feeling that's where we should start. I'll bring the basket my folks found me in. Maybe it'll give us some ideas.
I was gonna suggest that, but let's make it noon. I'm not a morning person. And maybe you could bring sandwiches and a nice salad.
Be there. Despite my misgivings about Gisella, I felt I'd taken a solid first step in uncovering my origin. The West River Road runs along the top of the Mississippi River Gorge. Expensive homes line it. A flat area of silt at the base had built up over the centuries, hosting a forest of elm and oak, a home for birds, squirrels, rabbits, and foxes. It's a bit wild, a place where homeless folks sometimes camp. Could I be the child of one of them? Then again, I was found at the top of the gorge, so I could just as easily be from one of the expensive homes on the river road. Either way, I was excited to getting closer to discovering who I am. Gisella was already at the water fountain when I arrived. The basket I'd been found in was dusty and brittle. My father kept it in his study. He used it to hold ketchup packets he'd swipe from fast food restaurants. He meticulously squeezed them into a ketchup bottle. It was one of his many cheapskate habits that now made me thankful I'm adopted and not the fruit of his penny-pinching loins.
Well, you took your sweet time. That's the basket. Hey, no sandwiches.
Or salad. Before we start this investigation, how much did you tell the Bigfoot Research Association?
So you figured that out. What is there to tell? You saw Bigfoot during a regression. Who am I to argue?
Didn't you think that was odd?
I'm a hypno-regression therapist, kid. You want thinking? Try Dr. Phil.
Standing at the fountain with my baby basket forced me to drudge up my earliest memories. I had cried the first time my parents shaved me. My new clothes felt funny. The aftershave burned.
We can order.
Okay, here's what we do. We look for bushes or tree limbs resembling this basket's sticks. Maybe the basket was made right here. If we can figure out what it's made of, we might have a place to start.
It's made of clematis.
What? Where'd you come from?
Oh, sorry to startle you. That basket
was made from a vine that grows everywhere along the river gorge. Clematis, I wondered if you'd bring it.
You wondered? Who are you? Wait, you look familiar. McCauley?
No one else.
Oh, it must be 15 years.
You may not have seen me, but I have been watching you as you grew. You've learned the ways of your adopted parents and grown into a fine woman.
Let me give you a hug. I've missed you.
And I you.
This is Gisella.
Gisella, I know.
You know each other. How?
We do lunch. Have a few drinks now and then.
Gisella drinks too much.
Spoken like a true, overbearing older sister.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Your sisters.
Yes. And her part has been played. The important thing is that you are here and your people are ready to welcome.
Okay, hold on. I'm still adjusting to the sisters part. Let me process. I have people?
She's usually quicker on the uptake, Maki.
No matter. You have questions about your real parents. That is why you have come. You were selected to learn human ways. You are our bridge to the future.
Yeah, slow down. I don't understand any of this. What's this about human ways? You two are related. And my people? Who exactly are my people?
Get the net!
Jeez! Hold on, guys! What's with the net? You said you just wanted to talk.
This is your work?
Well, I ran into him last night. It was...
Get out of the way, Grandma.
Who are you calling Grandma?
As if the McCauley Gisella sister thing wasn't enough. I now had the boys from Bra pushing Gisella out of the way while others got a big net out of their van.
Yeah, you thought you were pretty clever attending our meeting.
Goldfish look clever next to you guys.
Shut up and get in the van.
Boss, we just got out of the van.
Not you, her.
In your dreams.
Look, we can do this the easy way or the hard way.
I vote for the easy way, boss.
Jeez, this is not a freaking democracy.
Obviously not.
Alula, will you introduce your rude friends?
These guys are Bigfoot hunters.
Forget the introductions. Alula is coming with us. Get in the van.
Is that net for me?
It's up to you. Lone Wolf, do you have your taser?
Yes, sir. Luckily, I got the Walmart extended warranty.
You will not kidnap Alula. Leave and take your net and electric gun with you.
Oh, yeah? And who's going to stop us?
Things about this river gorge I didn't tell you.
What happened next, I will never forget. McCauley let out an ear-splitting, sing-songy howl. And the woods leading down to the river flats erupted in drumming. Actually, it was like a cross between bongos and conga drumming. It wasn't much of a dance beat, but very spooky. Stealth and his pals froze, confused. But that wasn't the most surprising part. An 8-foot-tall, furry man-like creature appeared out of nowhere and stood next to me. It gently put a huge hairy hand on my shoulder. Oh, God, Kevin might have given it hints in personal hygiene. Woo! Ugh. However, I could swear it purred. After looking me over, it waved its other hand and half a dozen more creatures magically appeared and surrounded the Bra boys. What are they?
Bugwe Janini. Some call them Satchquatch. Boggers call them Bigfoot.
They just appeared out of nowhere.
They've been here the whole time. Only now do you see them.
Inattentional blindness.
Much of this world is hidden because we have forgotten how to look.
Lone Wolf, use your taser!
Oh, I'd recommend
recommend putting your taser down if you want to keep your arm.
Nice, Bigfoot. See? I'm putting the taser down. Oh, man. Not again.
Hey, Evie with the net.
They're wrapping my men up and stuffing them in the van. Make them stop.
No harm will come to them.
Wow, this is amazing. This is friggin' amazing. I have so many questions. Where did they come from? Are there more? Shit, I don't have a camera.
You are not ready to meet them. Soon you may be, but not here and not now. Take this message to others of your kind. Stop hunting Sasquatch.
Oh? But what if I insist on getting evidence?
Watch out, he's got a gun!
Okay, that's it. I'm not letting you jerks ever buy me drinks again.
We tried the easy way. Now you're forcing me to do this the hard way. You, Alula, get in the van.
All the dramatic new thoughts turning around in my head suddenly cleared. The threat to Gisella, McCauley, and the Sasquatch triggered something in me. I closed my eyes, willing Stealth and his gun to vanish. When I opened my eyes, he disappeared.
Didn't I tell you, McCauley? The kid's got talent.
Her abilities are more impressive than we suspected.
Good gravy. What happened?
Do not worry. The Bigfoot hunter is fine. You have rendered him invisible, a power you've inherited.
You disappeared him, kid! You've been doing it to things like your badger and other stuff by accident. It's why you first came to see me.
What are you talking about?
Gisella puts it crudely, but she is right. You have a power. However, the hunter will reappear shortly, so we must leave.
God, none of this makes sense. You have to tell me what happened.
He is outside of our attention as we are outside of his.
But...
You are safe. Your people are here for you.
Oh, some need to cut their carbohydrates.
Come down to the river flats and we'll talk. We must hurry. The hunter will return shortly.
Okay, first, explain how you know all this. Who are you?
Why, child, I am your mother.
Mother? What? But then who is my father?
Sorry.
Aw, dang him.
I told McCauley to hold out for someone shorter and with a college degree. But does she listen?
We've foreseen the time when our two peoples come together in understanding. Sasquatch has much to share. Should you decide to accept the role, we ask you to be our ambassador. Now, no more talk, my daughter. We must go. The hunter with his gun will reappear.
McCauley led me, with my hairy escort, down the trail to the river. You might say I had a lot to think about. Gisella remained behind us.
Hey, McCauley! She still owes me $50!
Don't worry, dear sister, you'll be paid. And a word of advice. Go easy on the booze. Stay away from that bar.
Alula! This has got to have been a traumatic for you! I'll schedule some more sessions! See you next week, kid!
Take care, Gisella.
Right back at you, kid!
McCauley and I went on with our Bigfoot escort. So much had happened. Gisella is really your sister. She is so different from you.
You mean conniving, greedy, and lacking any moral compass?
Well, I might have put it differently, but yeah.
Despite all that, she has a good heart. We are sisters traveling on different paths. She uses her talents in ways I wouldn't. But if life has taught me one thing, family is family. It is fate. Can't choose your relatives.
Sorry.
You can say that again. I looked up at the wall of fur surrounding me. My family. A gentle furry paw patted my head. The giants encircling me could have smelled better,
But their willingness to stand up to Stealth and his bunch was awesome. I felt I was being given a chance to be part of something. A real family. Furry farts and all. I still had a ton of questions, but I was welcome and safe. A feeling that was rare for me. I'd longed for a place like this all my life. It was a good feeling. I couldn't remember ever feeling better. Macaulay, how do you guys feel about badgers?
Some of our best friends are badgers. Why do you ask?
You've been listening to Basket Case with Ryan Hill as Alula, Juliana Dittmeyer as Gisella, Jay Hoff as Lone Wolf, Matt Winter as Trapper, Jim Sorensen as Stealth, Vicky Daigneau as Macaulay, Mike Nauer as the barista, and Alula's parents were played by Anthony Gervais and Yvonne Mishak. Sound design and Foley is from Matt Cowley. Sound engineer is Nathan Doyle, and technical supervisor is Trenton Szabo. Paul Wilborn was on the piano with Ryan Hill, and signing for the hearing impaired was from Carol Downing. This has been a production of the Studio at 620's Radio Theater Project, live from Freefall Theater in St. Petersburg, Florida, with special thanks to everyone at Freefall Theater. And I'm your announcer, Jim Sorensen.
I was glad to hear that the sound designer in that was Matt Cowley, an old friend of mine from the 62nd Radio Theater. And now here's a piece from some more old friends of ours, the Fire Sign Theater. This isn't included on any of their albums, but is in their best of collection, Shoes for Industry. It's called Forward Into the Past.
Pass the Lord and praise the ammunition. Pass the Lord and praise the ammunition. Pass the Lord and praise the ammunition.
Yes, the Veterans Tap Dance Administration proudly takes you forward into the past. Remember those good old days when your daddy and mommy were fighting the war that made you possible? Well, you know, they didn't do it alone. No, they did it on the radio with millions of people watching. And this is what they heard. Forward! Into the past!
Headquarters, headquarters, Moon, 40 Taurus.
Roger.
Sun, 29 Pisces, 59.
Roger. Roger?
What?
This one looks serious, Roger. Cancer is rising.
Then we'd better call Captain Equinox.
Captain Equinox, the deadliest foe of those who attest our island democracy. By day, Adolf Tree, a mild-mannered college professor. By night, Kiki, a miniskirted habitué of Hollywood starstruck Sunset Strip. But twice a year, he's
Captain Equinox.
Today's dumb story, Spies of a Broadway, but first...
Come in! I'm the strange Dr. Weird, and you've just entered the vaults of Mindless Fellowship!
Is it a hit? Or a miss?
What?
Yes, yes, yes. The makers of Loose Blood presents the Aboriginal Amateur Hour. And here's your meaner host, Major Arcana.
Round and round I go. Hey, hey, babe, we're on the wheel again. Hello, hello. But first, here's a word from Dribble.
Hi. I'm not a doctor, but I do look like one, and I'm being paid to ask you this important question.
Police state!
Police state!
Police state!
Help! It's the police!
Policemen, real policemen, it's policemen will become
number one.
Peacemen, yes, we're peacemen, even though we wear a gun.
It's all in fun.
Police state, where green rookies become hardened men in blue, where danger wears a diploma and crime gets taught the lesson it deserves. Listen now as the Federal Bureau of Marijuana, in cooperation with Crime Lord Magazine, presents challenge number 13, Roach Patrol at Police State.
End of song.
The timeless story of the little people, striving to make a pie pond of tranquility in a dirty, self-conscious hamlet that accepts neither, but rejects both. Brought to you every day by Brie.
Brie, Brie, Brie! Clean, clean, clean! Cleaner than everything!
As you remember, Cookie, ejected from Dr. Dog's insane asylum, had just been driven out to the scene of the fire in Aubrey's stolen car. Only a few moments before, the Carrots and the Squirrels had formed a committee to flood the Mixville Breadworks before nightfall. And, in court, Nora voids to unlock the pent-up riddle of Blessed Father Erpo before we all reach the end of song.
Do pigs live in trees?
What? You live where I live, and I live where you live. Then we live where pigs live, in trees. Yes, we all live in trees, like pigs.
Right, Porky, and it's time again to play...
What?
The all-family fun game that stunts the experts.
Yes, we're all pigs, 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 pigs. We all live in trees, like big, fat pigs. I'm a pig.
Welcome to the Whispering Yeast Hour. With the Whispering Yeast Symphonette, the famous Whispering Yeast All-Animal Whistling Choir, and yours truly, Dwight Yeast. For their opening selection, the Whispering Yeast All-Animal Whistling Chorus joins Maestro Urpil Sweeney in a rousing salute to reality.
Pass the Lord and praise the ammunition. Pass the Lord and praise the ammunition.
Americans, ask yourselves these questions. Who's going to get your garbage, us or Tojo? Remember, only individual private citizens has the answer.
Like this week's 25-year war bond winner, Mrs. Beverly Yatamoto of Camp 13. She crocheted her entire month's allotment of garbage into a splendid barrage balloon.
So thumbs up, Beverly Yatamoto. Yeah, she remembered that garbage that goes bad comes back at our boys in baggies.
This is a transcribed service of the Veterans Tap Dance Administration.
A modern twist on radio nostalgia from the Fire Sign Theater. I'm Jerry Stearns. Please join me again here next Sunday night for Sound Effects of Radio Playground. In the meantime, Abby's Room for One will take you forward into the past. Sound Effects, a radio playground. The best in audio theater, comedy, and the audio arts. A medium where almost everything is left to your imagination.
Lara, don't you let him get your head down.
Welcome. When you hear it, you know you're with friends and family. You know you're safe. You know that wherever you are, you're home. It's why the Arcadian Wild named their latest release Welcome. And it's why the Cedar welcomes them to the stage on Wednesday, April 30th. It's folk for modern folks. It's bluegrass with new class. With lyrics as sharp and precise as their harmonies, the Arcadian Wild creates music that celebrates community, connection, and the power of being welcome. Opening the show, our new bluegrass duo, River and Rail. Tickets for the Arcadian Wild can be found at the Cedar's website. Visit thecedar.org for more details.
Are you ready to get country punked? Wednesday, April 30th, KFAI brings you Laura Jane Grace and the Mississippi Medicals live at the Amsterdam Bar and Hall. The unstoppable punk prodigy, Laura Jane Grace, is joined by Matt Patton of Drive-By Truckers, Mikey Erg of The Ergs, and Paris Campbell Grace on their latest release, Give an Inch. It'll be a punky country, hoedown, beatdown when the front person of Against Me takes the stage. Also appearing are Alex Leahy and Noun. Tickets for Laura Jane Grace and the Mississippi Medicals at the Amsterdam are available at the First Avenue website. Visit first-avenue.com for more details.
In recognition of the freedom of speech protections on the First Amendment and the FCC's relaxed policy on late night and overnight language, this KFAA program may include song lyrics that some listeners might find objectionable. Listener discretion is advised.